Thank you, Chair. Thank you for all your efforts. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Chair, I'm making this intervention on behalf of my delegation and Brazil and Mexico, as usual. Regarding item 5C, we've stated in August already, and I will repeat the main ideas behind our intervention. Human control has been identified throughout the GGE sessions as being of paramount importance to the discussion on autonomous weapon systems. I would dare say one of the main elements, if not the main element. Precisely because of the autonomous potential of AI technologies deployed in this area, meaning machine learning, deep learning, robotics, it was established very early on in the discussions that states would not tolerate systems, machines operating on their own without any human oversight, supervision, control, or responsibility. Existing IHL rules do not relate to autonomous systems operating in the battlefield, nor do they make explicit that there must always be human oversight, supervision, control, or responsibility when such systems are deployed. Therefore, it is clearly inadequate for the law to simply take into account autonomous technologies. Positive obligations are needed for areas in which the law is silent because of precisely unpredictability, non-transfer of responsibility, systems not to be operating on their own without human control. Human control, this concept, this terminology, does not exist in IHL precisely because there is a gap in the rules relating to weapon systems based on these new technologies. Human-machine interaction also does not exist in IHL, yet has been deemed necessary in the GGE discussions. Human control as a concept is separate from human-machine interaction, so we should be careful not to conflate the two. Human-machine interaction is a type of human involvement with the system, not an example of human control. Considering human-machine interaction scenarios can help elicit what human control would be needed in these particular scenarios. For example, the ability of a human operator to intervene in the system's operation to abort or suspend an attack. But they do not provide a complete picture of human control for autonomous weapon systems. As we have heard from many delegations, human control is relevant throughout the system lifecycle, not simply at the point of human interaction with it. This means it applies in the pre-deployment, deployment, and post-deployment stages. For example, the political decision to develop such systems, the design and development of such systems, employment of such systems in the battlefield, and post-deployment and appraisal of outcomes. What are, for our delegation, the important elements of human control? First, ability for human to intervene and abort or suspend system operation. Second, the ability of human to deactivate the system. Third, human supervision of the system that requires qualitative human judgments to be made rather than simple approval of automated system decisions. Fourth, ability of humans to appraise system information with a reasonable amount of time before approving system action. Five, actual and effective human judgment and reasoning should be capable of being exercised throughout the system lifecycle. Six, human retention of decisions on application of principles of first, distinction, second, proportionality, third, precautionary measures, and fourth, prevention of unnecessary suffering to combatants. Seven, ability of humans to understand and explain what the system is doing and why. And eight, attribution of responsibility for autonomous weapon systems at different stages and throughout the entire system lifecycle. Thank you very much, Chair.